So let's all stand in reverence and respect to the Word of God. As we read from Isaiah, chapter number 55, we're going to start with verse number 8, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9. Here's what the Bible says. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I want to speak to you on this subject this morning. Just trust God. Just trust God. Father, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you've given me a message for your people here today. Now I ask that you go from heart to heart and from chair to chair, from soul to soul, and that you'd speak to each one of us individually of the simple truth. In the very best way I know how, I ask you to help me help your people. I yield myself to you right now, and I ask you to help me to say exactly what you would say. Not my views, not my opinions, but your word. What you would say if you were addressing these folks this morning, as you are. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's interesting to me that God looks at life completely different than you and I do. His ways are so much different than your ways and my ways. His directions are so much more different than your directions or my directions. And His ways of handling things are so much different than your way of handling it and my way of handling it. We all have needs in our life that God wants to meet for each one of us. Oftentimes, we can meet those needs in our own ways, and we never consult with God about how to meet those needs. Yet He wants to meet those needs for us. We want to see how things work out before we choose God's way. We say, okay, Lord, you have this direction for me, but let me see how it works out first. If it works out the way I think it's going to work out, then I'll go your way. But I'll tell you what, I think I can work it out better over here. And oftentimes we choose our way over God's way. Yet God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways. Imagine, if you will, this morning, if Joseph and Mary had failed to trust God in the coordination of the birth of Jesus Christ. Even though they didn't understand how God would bring everything about when it came to the birth of Christ, they chose to follow Him. We learned some of that in our Sunday school lesson, but there's so much more to that story for us to learn. When Mary was very close to delivery, there went out a decree that the world should be taxed, making it necessary for Mary and Joseph to travel from the home that they had to go to Bethlehem to be counted for the taxation. Take your Bible now, if you would, please, if you still have it there with you, and open up to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. In Luke chapter number 2, we see this as a part of the story of Jesus Christ. We see the beginning of this. I'm going to start reading with verse number 1 while you continue to find it. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And that this taxing was first made in Caesarea, and was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. So they got to go back to the city in which they're from. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judah to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house in the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So here they are. Mary's near delivery time. I can't imagine that Joseph said, "Oh yes, we get to go on a road trip." I'm sure Mary didn't go, "Woohoo! I'm about to give birth and now I gotta go somewhere." I'm sure this is not what they thought what should occur near the birth of the child. Undoubtedly, Joseph and Mary would have not chosen to take this trip to Bethlehem. But they trusted God's plan and they followed Him. Now, I want you to notice a couple things. First, these aren't the points for the message, but I just want you to notice God doesn't always just use special people. He uses all sorts of people when it comes to getting His will done. Here He's using Caesar Augustus. What's He doing? He's declaring that the whole world should be taxed. Now, the whole world has to be taxed so that Mary and Joseph can get to Bethlehem where Jesus is supposed to be born. Right now, they're not there. According to Scriptures, they're in chapter 2 and verse number 4, they're in Nazareth. But that's not where they're supposed to be. That's not what Scripture says. That's not how the will of God was to be fulfilled. So God uses the world to affect Mary and Joseph, to get Mary and Joseph to the location that they needed to be for the birth of Jesus Christ. They did not realize that God had providentially worked it all out so that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. There was a scripture that had to be fulfilled. In fact, it's Micah chapter 5 and verse number 2. And let me read it for you. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from the old, from everlasting." So here is the providential statement. Here is prophecy that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. But that's not where his parents were. So now, close to birth, it's time for them to take a trip. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and 29 says this, "And we know all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among brethren." God has a plan that needed to be fulfilled in the life of Mary, of Joseph, and Jesus, and His Word. Everything had to line up. So God had a perfect will set here. Oftentimes when God is trying to get us to get into His will, to do the very steps that He intends for us to take, to go the very direction that He intends for us to go, we balk at it, and we don't understand it, and we don't want to do it. That was the case with almost everybody I know. And I imagine that was probably the case here with Mary and Joseph. I imagine that maybe they could have got out of it, but they didn't. They did what God told them to do, even though they didn't know that this command to go from Nazareth to Bethlehem was the plan that God had for them. So God has a plan all along to where Jesus should be born. And He fulfilled that plan by them fulfilling the plan that God had for Mary and Joseph's life at that moment. So what can we learn? We can learn this. Number one, God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. Mary and Joseph were not anybody special, though there's a lot of folks that would be mad at me for that statement. Because we hold them up on a pedestal that makes them look better than everybody else. But wait a minute. If you read what we've read in Sunday school and you go over what we've gone over about the birth of Jesus Christ, we would find out that Mary and Joseph were just the average, ordinary, everyday people. They weren't any different. Mary wasn't this big, wonderful thing, statuesque type person that was held up on a pedestal by everybody else. She was just a girl. A teenager. Older teenager. A virgin who knew not a man. Joseph was just an average, ordinary, hardworking young man. There was nothing special about them. There was nothing unusual, but that they were ordinary. And just as God had a plan for their life, the ordinary, God has a plan for your life and my life, who are ordinary. We're regular, ordinary, everyday, hardworking individuals. Yet God has a plan for every aspect of your life. Did you ever notice, and we talked about this just a little bit in Sunday school, when a baby's going to come, there is no way to stop that baby. When it's time for that baby to be delivered, that baby's coming. You may not want it to come at that moment, but that baby's coming. Then again, there could be times where you want that baby to come, and you're trying to do everything you can to get that baby to come. I remember my wife and I were expecting our first child, and my wife's water had broken, and they said, okay, you need to go walk the hallways, because that helps the baby to come. I remember people telling us, go get in the car, drive over bumpy roads, that helps the baby to come. There was all sorts of things that people would, some people will say, drink castor oil, that'll help the baby to come. Can I tell you something? That helps something else to happen that doesn't bring the baby along. But it's all sorts of things that people say. Why? Because they're trying to get the baby to come in a specific time. That baby is going to be born when God appointed for that life to be born on this earth. That is one place that you can know for sure that that is an appointed time by God. Why should we live our life in any other way but then to know that God has an appointed time for everything in our life? He has a will for you and I. He has a desire for you and I. He has a purpose for you and I, and we must fulfill it. I've been many times at the bedside of people who are dying. I've heard this many, many, many times, hundreds of times, if you will. They're going to die any moment. And they don't. Sometimes I've seen folks who have died. I know a lady, her name was my mind's gone blank. How can it go blank here? Mrs. Kilmer. Joanne Kilmer. Joanne Kilmer was in her late 60s. She had all sorts of issues. My wife and I were taking care of her, and we'd bought her a place to live and had given her, she was living in there. We're giving her daily care in her own little home, and she got sick and passed away. They called me up. They said, "Preacher, you need to come. The law says we have to bag her for 30 minutes when they die in this condition." Bag means to put a thing across their mouth and push a bag that pushes air in and out of their lungs for 30 minutes. They said, "You probably need to come here because you have to sign off that this is what needs to be done since you have custody of her." I said, "Okay." So I got in the car, I drove to the hospital, I got into the emergency room. They're giving me papers to sign. I'm standing in the same room where they're bagging her, and all of a sudden she goes, and sits right up in bed and lived for 2 or 3 years longer. Listen, you're going to die when God appoints for you to die. That's an appointed time. There's an appointed time when you're born. There's an appointed time when you die. Oftentimes I talk to soldiers and military folks and people that are in critical positions in life, and they'll say, "All my friends died around me, yet I didn't die." Can I tell you why? God didn't appoint for you to die yet. I have a dear friend in New Mexico. I think in the Vietnam War, he was placed in body bags 3 times. Toe tag 3 times. Shot on the battlefield 1 time. I think it was in 7 different places. Bullets riddled his body. They put him in a body bag as dead. And he's a pastor. He's still alive today. Now he's an old pastor. But he's a pastor in New Mexico today. A missionary, in fact. A missionary to the Indians. To the Navajo Indians. I'm just saying, when God says it's time to be born, you're born. When God says it's time to die, it's time to die. And in between, God has all sorts of things that He wants you and I to do. That He has a will for you and I to do. He has a plan for you and I to do. And we're supposed to do those just as much as be born and to die. We see that with the life of Mary and Joseph, don't we? We see where God even tells Joseph, don't divorce her. Why? Because I have a plan here. So he says, okay. Again, we talked in Sunday school how hard, how difficult that would be. I don't know your purpose in life. You don't know my purpose in life. You may not know your purpose in life, but can I tell you one who does know your purpose in life? God does. God knows exactly why you were born, when you were born, how you were born, to the parents you were born in, to the location that you were born, to the job that you have to get done in life. God has a purpose in your life. Number two, we must stay close to His Word so we can know what He's telling us. We must stay close to His Word so we know what He's saying to us. Since everyone has a purpose, then we need to read God's Word so we know what He's saying. How can I know what God's telling me to do if I'm not listening to what He says? The only way that God speaks to man today is He speaks to us through His Word. He guides us through His Word. He shows us things through His Word. The more you're in His Word, the more you pray, you walk with God, you read His Word, the more God reveals to you, the more He reveals to you, the more you know what your purpose is. I don't know what my purpose is for tomorrow, but I know that my purpose right now, today, is to preach this message to those of you that are here. That is my purpose at this moment. Now, I know what's in a permissive will. We're going out to eat after this is over. We're going to have this a little church Christmas party. And we're going to have a good time and fellowship one with another. But God has a purpose for you. He has a purpose for me. And sometimes we don't know how we're going to get to that purpose. And sometimes we don't even know that that purpose is laying in front of us. I have no doubt that Mary and Joseph had not searched the Scriptures out to figure out that they needed to get to Bethlehem for Jesus to be born. But God knew it. So God interrupted the whole world and put a tax on everyone just to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. That's amazing, isn't it? If I read God's Word every day, every day, every day, that helps me to know every day what His purpose is for me today. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know if I even have a tomorrow. You don't know if you have a tomorrow. I have met people. I know of people who have died at infancy. I know of people who have died in childhood. I know of people who have died in teenage years. I know people that have died as a young adult. I know people that have died in middle age. I know people that have died in older age. And I know people that have died in old age. Can I tell you, nobody knows when things are appointed to them. But God knows. And we need to follow His will for our life. Just as Mary and Joseph did. So we can learn, number one, God has a purpose for your life. Number two, we can stay close to the Word of God so we know what He's saying to us. Number three, we go step by step through life and He directs our path. We go step through life, and I should say this, He directs our steps. God has a plan. And His plan isn't for us to run up and do what He wants us to do, and then it'll go away. Moses thought that was true. And Moses tried to deliver at the age of 40, tried to deliver the Israelites by going to battle and trying to kill Egyptians. He found out that that wasn't the way that God was going to deliver him, and he never thought he would have an opportunity at the age 80 to lead the Israelites out of the promised land. Yet that was what God's will is. Sometimes God's will isn't for us, in particular, what we're going to do when we're young or when we're middle-aged, but sometimes it's when we're old. 80 years old is when Moses saw the burning bush. There's no young whippersnapper then. 80 years of age, he meets with his wife and says, it's time for me to go home and lead the Israelites out of Egypt. 80 years of age. Now, I don't know, that seems like a burden to put on somebody that old. Yet that was the exact time that God had appointed for Moses. Ladies and gentlemen, God has a will for your life and to my life, and He's going to take us through that will step by step. In Psalm chapter 37 and verse number 23, it says this: the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That's Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Notice it didn't say the life of a good man. It didn't say the years of a good man. It didn't say the days of a good man. It didn't say the weeks of a good man. It didn't say the span of a good man. It says the steps. So God is concerned about every step you and I take. And when we take the step that He's laid before us, He delights in that. Now, this is what my mind sees when I read this. My mind sees when I was young. My mind sees when I was young how my dad would go somewhere in the snow. And he'd have his boots on and he'd take his steps and the snow would be high up to about the top of his boot. And then I, as his son, while the steps were still there, I would try to walk in the steps my dad would take. And I remember many times my dad looking over his shoulder and snickering delightfully as he watched me walk in his steps. And I believe that's what this is teaching us here. God loves watching us follow Him. He was tickled when Joseph and Mary packed their bags and said, "Come on, it's time to go." And Mary rode the donkey and Joseph walked. Because Joseph wasn't walking in his steps. Joseph was walking in the steps that the Lord had placed before him. And I imagine every few moments the Lord would look back just like my dad would. And smile. With great delight to see that his son, his child, his loved one, the ones he cares about, are following the steps that he was leading them in. I think my dad used to take shorter steps so that I could get in his steps. Because if I was a full stride that my dad would take, my dad was over 6 foot tall. He had big stride. But he'd make him smaller because he knew we were following in his footsteps. And I believe God has a huge stride, but he doesn't want us to get lost in it. He wants us to follow in his footsteps. And I think sometimes he even takes smaller steps so that we could follow him. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. God will direct us if we'll let him. He'll direct us in everything we're supposed to go and everything we're supposed to do. There's a big place there where God is saying, "Come and trust me. Just trust God. Just trust him." And when we trust him, everything comes into play. When it came to Mary and Joseph, they continued to trust in the Lord as He led them. They did not know the end result. They just knew they were supposed to follow. The shepherds were in place, but Mary and Joseph didn't know that. The angels were ready for the announcement, but Mary and Joseph didn't know that. The scriptures that foretold where the Savior would be born were all set, publicized, and everybody knew where they would be, but Mary and Joseph didn't realize that. The barn which Jesus would be born in was ready, but Mary and Joseph did not know that. The inns that needed to be filled were filling up quickly, but Mary and Joseph did not know that. The only thing that needed to be put in place for the birth of the Savior was the location of the parents of Jesus, and that was Mary and Joseph. They were in the wrong town. Now, they needed to be in that town because later on, there's a scripture reference to him coming from Nazareth. But they needed to get to Bethlehem. And they didn't know that. So God changes the whole world for a few moments. You know, sometimes we don't understand why the world gets like it does. I don't know about you, but one of the things that I absolutely hate is paying taxes. We got a tax bill for our property taxes not very long ago. It did not make me happy. I didn't go, "Hoo-hoo, guess what? I get to pay property taxes. Yay! why are my taxes so high? That's what I said. How can I cut the taxes back? What can I do? Are all the exemptions filed that we need to have filed to lower our taxes? That's what was going through my head. I am not thrilled about paying taxes. I really don't know anybody that goes, woohoo! So, April 15th is coming. I get to pay taxes soon. I don't know anybody that does that. I know all sorts of people that go to accountants and attorneys to find ways not to pay so much money in taxes. We'll pay a bunch of money to an accountant or a lawyer to get us out of paying even more money to the government. So I don't know anybody that's thrilled about taxes. I don't know anybody that got excited when Caesar Augustus said, woohoo, I think I'll charge the whole world more taxes. Yet God used the attacks to move Mary and Joseph where they needed to be temporarily, not permanently, so that God's will could be fulfilled completely. God's word could be fulfilled completely. And the purpose in their life would be fulfilled completely. Now, there was a lot of steps on the way. I'm sure they thought, should we go or should we stay? Can we send someone in our place? Maybe we can get an exemption from this taxation because of the pregnant position of my wife and we don't have to travel all that way. I'm sure that questions could have been endless of what they thought they could do. But in the end, they just obeyed. And God used a government official to do something that nobody liked to get Jesus to the place where he needed to be born. That's amazing. Number 4. God works out his purpose for you on his own timetable, not ours. God works out his purpose for you and I in our life on his timetable, not our own. God doesn't operate on my timetable and your timetable. Have you ever gone to God with a demand that you have to have by a certain time, at a certain hour, at a certain place? And you've got to have it, and you're demanding. God, I've got to have this, I've got to have this now, I've got to have it by this time, it's got to be in this way. And God says, I've got a different plan here than you do. And then we don't get it. And many people go, oh God, you don't hear me. You don't, I don't believe in you anymore. Well, it wasn't on his timetable. He'll take care of it on his timetable. It's his will that we're supposed to be fulfilling. It's his purpose that we're supposed to be living. And most of the time, when we set out a timetable for God, it's to get us out of a jam that we got ourselves into. Not for God to do something that he initiated in our life. Just like sometimes my children would get in a jam. And they'd say, oh, you've got to do this for us. And I'd say, no, you've got to pay the piper. You did wrong. Oh, sometimes my kids would get upset. Sometimes we would rescue them. But you know what I found out? I found out if I just continued to do the right thing, I didn't have to worry about how everybody felt at that moment. It would all work out. And it always has. It took me a while to learn that lesson, by the way. And it takes each one of us a while to learn that lesson. But God has a timetable that's his timetable. I don't know exactly how he operates, except he has his own timetable set up. He provides for our needs in his time. We can sometimes say we trust God that he'll provide for us, but we want it done according to the way that we want it done. God, I want it here. I want this much. I want it this way. But God says, no, that's not what my plan is, but I will do this and I will do that and I will do that. And oftentimes I think we miss seeing the blessing of God because we're so demanding about how we want it. And when he does answer our prayer, we miss it. And we don't get to see it. We went, well, what? And then somebody later on comes up and says, yeah, but this happened and this happened and this happened. And you go, wow, I missed that. And yet that was the hand of God. This is the hardest point about trusting him, I believe. Letting God work in his timetable. We saw that with Moses just a little bit ago. We see that in the life of Joseph. When Joseph, he tells his brothers his dream and then his brothers sell him off, and he probably thinks this is never going to happen. Then all this time passes, and before you know it, Joseph is known as an interpreter of dreams and pulled out of a prison and put on royal garments and is put in the number two position over all the nation of Egypt. And then his brothers come to him and bow to him, and he says, oh man, this is what God talked about all that time ago. I'm sure he never thought it was going to occur. But God has a timetable for everything. God knows what's best for you and I. And he chooses what's best for you and I. And he leads us to trust him when the time is right. We may not understand all that God has in store for us, but we can trust that it'll all work out if we just trust him. He is our Heavenly Father, and he wants to give us so much more than we could ever want to give ourselves if we just learn to trust him. He has life planned for us, and it's full of blessings and prosperity, but we must be willing to trust him if we're going to see that. So it all comes down to this. Are we doubting God's plan for our life? Are we really trusting God with every step that we take to know that his will is being done and this is what's best for us? I'm sure Mary and Joseph didn't understand all that God was doing in their lives. Yet they trusted him. And they received God's blessings because of it. Does that mean no tragedy ever happens? No. Later on in Jesus' life and his public ministry, we find Joseph is gone. I presume he's passed away because of how the scriptures phrase everything. Yet, Joseph did the will that God wanted him to do. Though he never got to see Jesus in the position of the great leader he became later in his life. So don't worry about the future. Trust God to fulfill his perfect plan for your life today. And your future will take care of itself. Trust in the Lord. Are you doubting his plan? Trust his plan. Father, I thank you for what we've learned today. I thank you for the simple truth that we see here, even in the Christmas story. How your thoughts are not our thoughts and your ways are not our ways. And Joseph and Mary had no idea about the ways that you had for them. Joseph early on was going to put Mary away secretly, yet he didn't. And she became his wife and they followed all the things that you laid out for them. Father, please help us to follow in our lives.